T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
How are we looking today? Start of the week, kids are back in school, everything heading in a fall-like direction. Even the weather kind of turned a little bit cool today throughout the state. Not going to warm up until the weekend. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. And if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. The new website went live over the weekend, in case you follow the program. You can go to BillMichaelsSports.com. We have a lot to get to because the appearances this week are stacking up. But let's do this. We've got to talk some baseball. Let's bring Adam McCabe from Brewers.com and MLB.com.
Best Brewers coverage. This is the Bill Michaels Show. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McCalvey. Brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services. Preparing vets to make an impact within their next mission through education. Find out more at cuw.edu/veterans.
Adam McCalvey from the Queen City is joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Adam, how you doing?
Hey, I am good. Why is it called that?
Because I don't know specifically. I know it has something to do with that was the place that, you know how the Serpentine Wall is just outside of Great American Ballpark?
Sure.
Okay, well, that was where all the different municipalities, the cities that were up and down the river, would bring all their livestock into Cincinnati and then run it up Spring Grove Avenue up to where they basically bought, traded, slaughtered animals and all that kind of stuff, and that's where the meat trade was, and that's the reason it's called Porkopolis. But it was the crown jewel of all of those cities, Louisville and Pittsburgh and all those different cities on the Ohio River. That's where they all floated their cattle and their feed to, and it was all traded in Cincinnati. But I don't know specifically why it was the jewel called Queen and not King City.
Because Charlotte's the Queen City, too. Sometimes I think they should battle this out.
Yes, I believe so. You are correct.
This is important sports coverage here.
Yes.
I'm glad we're covering.
But it is Porkopolis. Remember when they had the flying pigs all over the place down there? Remember those?
No.
Yeah,
I missed that.
Remember that when in Milwaukee they did the little things that looked like dinosaurs, and they were the art things. You could buy one and paint it up to whatever it is you look like and put it out in front of your store, and then they went on sale after a year. Well, they did the same thing in Cincinnati, but it was pigs. They had pigs dressed as everything over there, all those big, giant ceramic pigs.
I've eaten my share of pork here, so I can attest.
Yeah.
We talked Montgomery in last time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there's like four or five places there to go to. People always ask. First of all, you always hit Skyline. You always hit La Rosa's Pizza. Then there's Montgomery Inn. Yeah, if you don't go to the Precinct at some point, you're crazy, because that's one of the best steakhouses, not only in Cincinnati, but in America. It's always listed in the top 10. There's the Jeff Ruby Steakhouse. And now, since they had the riots there, you know, maybe a decade and a half ago, and they burned down over the Rhine, and then it's been rebuilt, and all those factories have now been bought and built up. It's beautiful down there. So
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's an incredible area. So
always good. I hit a new place that maybe you've heard of, Arthur's.
Yes,
the best burger in town.
Yep. There's also ask Rob Butcher. He'll know. There's a taco place in the Over the Rhine area. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's like a 2-hour wait to go get tacos. They're that good.
Wow.
On the weekends. But you're there during the week, so if you get a chance, go over there.
Pork, Jules and Taco. We're learning so much about our rivals in the division. Thank you, Bill.
That being said, the rivals in the division kind of gave the Brewers what for yesterday. Not a great outing for Chase Anderson, who clearly wasn't on yesterday. And a lot of speculation about Josh Hader with one day off after going back-to-back and then coming right back to him after the off day.
Yep.
Look, I didn't have a problem with it. He's been your go-to guy. He's been that guy. So, you know, granted, it was just one of those days where, you know, the vortex of crap started to swirl, and unfortunately the Brewers are on the receiving end of it. But coming out of a pretty solid weekend, beating, you know, 3 out of 4 of Washington, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, the Hader thing is interesting because this is a learning experience, and this is what I wrote yesterday. I thought Anthony Swarzak was really interesting in talking about what Josh Hader is going through and the thought process that he needs to have to succeed in this totally new role where you're in the eighth inning and one pitch decides the game. That's the life of an eighth inning guy, and it's all new for Hader. They're trying to push him now, so they were real careful with usage, and they'd pick a spot for him, often multi-innings, and then they'd give him a couple of days off, and he was having to learn how to kind of get loose and get ready for games, and it was a challenge. Then in San Francisco, they did back-to-back for the first time. That felt very significant. Then over the last couple of weeks since then, they've totally elevated his role, and now all of a sudden he's pitching high leverage late in games, and he's pitching frequently. And it's been, look, the results, the last two have not been good. It was troubling against the Nationals because his velocity. So his best outing of the year was Friday against the Nationals. He was up to almost touching 98, flirting with 98, struck out the side, totally dominant stuff. No one in Major League Baseball hits the Josh Hader of Friday night. Saturday then maybe was his worst, where his velo was down like 4 miles per hour. He did not look like the same guy. Taylor got him for the homer that tied it. Trey Turner won the game. That was kind of a learning experience for Hader. Now he comes back again. The stuff was good again yesterday, which was encouraging. The pitch that Billy Hamilton hit for the homer to win the game was 95. That'll work. And it was a pretty good pitch. So yesterday might have just been one of those tip your cap kind of days. And that's kind of what they were doing inside the Brewers clubhouse. They looked at that home run that won the game, and Billy Hamilton, not a guy you expect to beat you. And he beat him. Craig Counsell says he's going to keep going to him. Hader is going to keep firing all these fastballs, and he's going to have more success than not. Counsell expressed zero lost confidence in him.
And I would assume so, and I agree with you in the sense that it was a good pitch, and you don't expect Billy Hamilton to be a guy that's going to power one out of the ballpark, not very often. And you know, at the worst, you expected Billy Hamilton to maybe drop down a bunt, and he could turn that thing into a double.
Yeah, exactly.
But beyond that, I didn't expect Billy Hamilton. As a matter of fact, it was funny because I thought, Billy Hamilton, you look at his average, you look at what he's done this season. Again, he struggles at the plate for the most part. You give him a couple good pitches low and away, and it's usually not going to hurt you. And he just got one. And I can really agree with the tip of the cap. I don't normally say that because then I say usually it's a pitcher that made a bad pitch, but it wasn't awful. And you kind of agree with the tip of the cat thing. Or maybe, you know, the old adage of the sun shines brightly on a dog's rear end every now and then. And that happened to be Billy Hamilton's swing.
That's okay. That's fine. Hader, though, some people are saying, you know, he needs to throw more of his off speed. And that's interesting. I mean, it would help him to throw more sliders and changeups. Those are not refined pitches. He doesn't have the confidence in those pitches that he has in his fastball. So I'm not so sure that that's what needs to happen here. I was looking yesterday at the highest percentage of fastballs among pitches thrown. And there's some really good pitchers, particularly some really good power lefties, who basically throw all fastballs. Zach Britton throws all fastballs. Jake McGee, a guy from the Rays, now he's on the Rockies, has made a great career of just throwing fastballs. And, Doolittle, the closer from the Nationals, who the Brewers just saw, he throws the same percentage of fastballs as Josh Hader. So you can have great success, a great relief career doing that. Now, if they move Hader to the rotation, he's got to be more of a pitch mix guy. But I don't, you know, from what Counsell sort of said yesterday, they've obviously been talking about this. He doesn't expect the pitch selection to change very much from Josh Hader.
So now they move forward with the next two games against the Reds. And once it was announced that they obviously have the two games against the Reds, the off day, then they go into Chicago. When they announced that Chicago is going to move this game back, how big of a deal was it or is it?
I think it was a, I really don't think it's that big of a deal. I think this is the culmination of just irritation between these two teams all season. And back in May when the Cubs rained out that game, the Brewers thought they did it for competitive reasons. They thought, you know, Arrieta didn't want to pitch on a wet field. The Cubs were playing poorly at the time. The Brewers were playing great. The Brewers thought the Cubs monkeyed with the schedule in order to give themselves a tiny little advantage. And that's what this is, too. The Cubs monkeying with the schedule, and then what upset the Brewers is the statements that came out from the Cubs and city officials, including the mayor of Chicago, saying, we hope this helps the Cubs win the World Series. And I'm not, I mean, that's not an oversimplification or a generalization. That's what they said. So it irritated the Brewers to have a team so blatantly mess around with the schedule. And they were upset about it, said something about it sort of behind the scenes. And I think it's over now. I mean, it's really honestly not that big of a deal. The Brewers will have a long gap between games, but it's August or it's September, and that's fine. And it's not going to change the outcome of the game in any way to play a night game. So everyone now is going to play a night game. We'll be a little bleary-eyed on Saturday, but that's fine. That's what happens throughout the course of the year, and I think life will go on. They need to settle this thing with the Cubs on the field. They have an opportunity with seven games left to close that gap. If they're going to win the division, I think they're going to have to do it against the Cubs. I don't think you're going to be able to count on the rest of the NL Central to close that gap for the Brewers. They're going to have to do it in these head-to-head games, and this is the first shot.
Well, the biggest thing that I've been preaching, and by the way, we're talking with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com, but the biggest thing I've been preaching over the weekend is you can't let this thing get to 4 and 5 games. If you looked, I think it was baseball, Stats Inc. said the average closing for a team that is 3 games back is usually about almost 2.5 to 3 weeks to gain a game on average. And when you look at the last, I think it was decade or decade and a half of baseball. Now, there have been some anomalies in there where people have closed the gap quickly. But if you go 5 games back, usually what you're looking at is about 4.5 weeks. You don't have that much remaining in the season. So you have to keep it close. And I agree with you. You have to keep it between the Brewers and the Cubs for that capability to go in and sweep a team and suddenly take over the position. Because if you rely on other teams, I think you're pretty much screwed at this point. So you got to keep this thing 3.5, 4 at the absolute worst. You get much more than that, and the season's pretty much done. At least your opportunity to win the division is pretty much done.
All of that is perfectly true, Bill. And then here's where the magic of baseball comes in, where it's so different from every other sport because there's always an exception and it always gives you this glimmer of hope. Baseball is like this game of hope and faith. And you're always like saying, yeah, but if this happens, we can do it. And that is just what makes the game so great. And the Brewers experienced the other side of this just right after the All-Star break. A 5.5 game lead does not evaporate in 2 weeks. It doesn't happen in Major League Baseball. And yet it did happen to the Brewers when the Cubs got hot and the Brewers got cold. So I think there's just the experience of being on the other side of that has shown the fans that you know, things can happen fast. They usually don't, though. And that's why, to me, the wild card is the much clearer path. The Rockies have not been playing great baseball lately. They did gain a game on the Brewers yesterday. But that just to me looks like the way to go for the Brewers to get in. Then you're staring down one game in Arizona against Zach Greinke against Jimmy Nelson to move on. That would be quite a thing. And look, you know, not to be a homer or whatever, but just to have this conversation.
I know.
The day after Labor Day. I mean, I think every now and then we all do need to kind of take a step back and think about how insane that is. And again, it goes to just the unpredictability of this particular game. On one hand, you play 162 games. It's the most predictable of the games statistically, and you can sort of get a feel for what, you know, in the end, the guy's numbers on the back of his baseball card are what they're supposed to be. But on the other hand, it is such a weird game where a team gets going one way or the other, and you can't have seen that coming. And I think this is an example of a team that nobody saw in the race this late in the year. And, you know, credit to them for making it happen.
Real quick, 30 seconds. I understand Thames has had a lot of success against Cincinnati, but how much can you realistically play him from here on out?
Well, they've already started playing Neil Walker at first base.
Right.
You know, and it's usually Neil Walker batting lefty. So they've started to sort of address that. Thames has been average since April, and he's trying to keep his head up. He is a guy who grinds really hard. He wears bad weeks, bad series, bad games harder than any other player I've literally ever seen. Scott Posednik maybe was the close second. And he is just trying to get through this, clinging to positive things, trying to produce, but it has been a challenge for him.
Always good, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. See you, Bill.
All right, Bill. Talk to you later. There you go. That is Anna McCalvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. And this portion of the program brought to you by the Neumel Medical Center. Fall is right around the corner. And all you want to do, everybody loves fall in Wisconsin. The football, the pennant races, the bonfires, Halloween, hay rides, all of that. If you're not feeling it, though, in the certain area that is between you and your partner that is good, you may want to call the friends from Neumel Medical Center. They have a 98% success rate at treating guys with ED, and that's from all over the state and beyond the borders, Green Bay, Milwaukee, down in Chicago as well. If you have the low T thing going on, which could be just mental fatigue, mental clarity, stamina, the energy every morning once you get up and you're already just dragging, maybe that's part of your problem. Or if you got the spare tire and you know the holidays are coming, you don't want to add to it, you want to jumpstart the health and fitness program, that has been wildly successful. All you have to do is call them 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. Make sure you tell them we sent you. When we come back, got some sports to get into, but I want to recap a fantastic weekend. I'll tell you about it coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Marshfield Clinic, Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
If my friends ask where you are, I'm going to say. She went down in an airplane.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Joe Zinzola across. Playing a little banged up today, but that's okay. And I wanted to kind of give you a recap of the weekend because I think it deserves it. And as much as we talk about sports on this program and as much as we talk about, or rants and raves, I guess, more so than anything, about sports, I kind of wanted to touch base with you on what we did this weekend. It was the 10th annual motorcycle ride. It was our ride for the Fisher House of Wisconsin. And over the years, we've always been really lucky and blessed because there's so many good people that we've become friends with. It's funny, yesterday on the ride, it was at the end point at Kelly's Bleachers out in Big Bend. It was funny because the manager of Kelly's comes over to me and he says, boy, this is a lot of people know each other on this ride. And it's funny because we started using the terminology as a family reunion. And it really has become that. For so many people that we only get a chance to see them once a year that come from all different parts. We got a kid that is out of the military that met up with us a couple of years ago out in Middleton, out in Madison, and came on the ride. And now he comes down the day of. He rides down from Minneapolis to be a part of the ride. We have another gentleman that came over from Iowa who comes over all the time. He comes to see Gary Ellerson and I at the Packers postgame show because he drives a coach bus. So he takes people from Iowa over to Packers games. And he jumped on his motorcycle and came over. We had a couple of different people that came up from Illinois. We had one gentleman that joined us who had come from St. Louis, Missouri. Another one that had come from South Bend, Indiana to be a part of the ride that listens to the program. But the one thing that I wanted to say was for all the people that not only come on this ride, it was a conglomeration of combat vets. We had women's riders groups, Stilettos on Steel and the Chrome Divas. And we have just a lot of good people that support veterans and veterans causes. We had Blue Knights. We had Axemen. And if you don't know these riders groups and you're not familiar with them and maybe you're not a rider yourself, I apologize for kind of going on and on about it. But we have such an incredible grouping of people that care. And from beginning to end. We had great work with the Greenfield Police Department. We had great work with the New Berlin Police Department. And then it got so big, they called in the State Patrol, and who escorted us. And watching those guys work and do what they do for us was amazing. When we left Greenfield High School, we left. It was really kind of neat because we had 10 motorcycle cops that were ahead of us. And at every intersection between Greenfield High School and Beechwood Distributing, which is Budweiser, not only did we have the cops, but we had additional support from policemen and policewomen that were in vehicles that had blocked off every intersection. We never stopped. I don't think our feet even touched the ground until we got to Beechwood. And so I wanted to say, first and foremost, thanks to those, because cops are taking such a beating reputation-wise. And I've always said, look, the bad apples are the ones that kind of cast the pall over everybody else. But there's a lot of great people out there that protect and serve, and they really do. And they did a great job with us, and we can't say thanks enough to them. Then we get to Beechwood Distributing and Budweiser and Bud Light, who have been such a big part of this. 10 years we've been together on the ride, and I've been they've been sponsoring this program, my program, me, for now, I think it's 18 years that we've had this partnership. And John Sheehan, who, excuse me, John Sheehan and his group over there, Dave Hawk and Scott McConaghy, I mean, everybody that works over there, they came on board early, and they just say, whatever you need, go. Do what you do. We'll pay for it. And they've been great with that. And we can't say thanks enough. Our Wednesday Night Live sponsorship and supporting all the charities, and they're so good. But that ride through the warehouse, I think that everybody had a chance to do that, was phenomenal. And if you haven't checked the website already, not the website, but the Facebook fan page, go to the Facebook fan page, The Bill Michaels Show on Facebook. And Budweiser put together their video of this. It was so cool, so fantastic. And then we got there, Josh Quinn from the Cheap Shots, who I mentioned earlier, sang the national anthem and just nailed it. What a great ceremony. And then Anthony, I'm not giving out his last name, but Anthony ended up winning the key that had a chance to win the motorcycle, he was so happy to win it. He didn't win it ultimately, unfortunately, but that was cool. And then all the bar stops, Doc's on Fox, Lindy's on Beulah donated a hell of a package, a quarter barrel package with a bunch of rum and everything. And they put that together at the last minute and said, here, go, you know, support all these places. They did a great job. Not too far away, Bar and Grill. Curly's on the Waterfront always comes through. They always do such a great job for us. And thanks to the staff and management out there out in Pewaukee. But Kelly's Bleachers in Big Bend with their food and everything they did for us. What a great place. They just supported it wholeheartedly. And then there was everybody else that came on board. One of our new sponsors is called Aproyo. And they have a feature in the program now. But they did a fantastic job in saying, look, we'd like to be a part of this. Ed Garza and the Veterans Affairs Department at Concordia University, we got to give them a shout. And then Corne from Coach's Pub. By the way, for those of you who couldn't ride and went to Coach's Pub and bought the Big Boy Burger, the check he is giving the Fisher House, over $1,200. That's how many people bought the Big Boy Burger. I was thinking a couple hundred bucks. I never in my wildest dreams thought it would be $1,200. Man, you people came out and did a lot of great supportive things for this charity and this cause. And I apologize for kind of going on and on about it a little bit, but it's been something that's near and dear to my heart for a long time. So I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for what they did. Obviously, the Big Gig Barbecue was a huge success for families and such, and they sponsored this as well. What a great group of people. What a great bunch of riders. I tried to thank everybody individually as much as I could yesterday going table to table, but I can't say thanks enough other than to sit here on the air and go, thank you. It was a great day. Absolutely great day yesterday. So we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing everybody back again next year and support all the people, all the sponsors that supported this ride continuously. Thanks so much. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to Border, the Marshfield Clinic, Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. How's your day today? Kids are back at school. A little quiet around the house. Just you and the dog. Relax. unless, of course, you're at work, then hustle home early. Enjoy the house being quiet for a little while before the kids get home from school. Are you pleased? Going back to the Packers and the 53-man roster as it stands, are you happy with the way the roster has shaken out? Interesting feedback. I think there's a point here where people aren't really sure what to make of it. Tom writes in the Wendy's email inbox, this is Ted Thompson being reactionary to the market, understanding that his team is just simply not that good, and therefore he has to go out and get someone else's cut and a free agent to fortify what he made when he made bad decisions. See, again, with this is a legitimate question, okay? And I want to ask this. You want Ted Thompson to make free agent signings. Are you talking about only free agent signings in the offseason? Because he made free agent signings. That's what I'm asking. So my question becomes, are you upset with Ted for getting the free agents? Are you not giving him any credit for that? Or are you just a hater? Because that's what it comes down to. The guy looked at the team, said, here's some holes. We need to fill them. Picked up a free agent. Picked up some roster moves from other teams. I appreciate that. And said, okay, we have to fortify these positions. Isn't that what a general manager is supposed to do? So why? I mean, you know, I've got the Banks who tweets me and says, Ted's only trying to save his ass. What does that mean? What does that mean? In my opinion, you're a hater. And no matter what the man does, you're going to hate on it anyway. If you've got some other kind of methodology here, please explain. Is there a different pathway from point A to point B? Yeah, we can all say maybe another move or two in the offseason, but I went through this last week. How many players on the Green Bay Packers that are actually making double digits as far as millions of dollars in salary? So when you look at the Green Bay Packers, as opposed to, say, the team that everybody wants to hold up as the example, okay, remember, everybody wants to hold up the Patriots. There's only three guys in the Patriots roster this season that is making double digits in millions. They're not going out and bringing in a ton of guys for a bunch of money. They go out and piecemeal it together. But you have got Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, all making over $10 million or more, okay? $10 million or more. You also have Mike Daniels making $10 million. Clay Matthews making $15 million. Plus you have a guy like, say, Morgan Burnett's making six. He's right, he's just above $5 million, but he's kind of that cusp guy. Then on the offensive side of the football, David Bakhtiari's making six. Brian Bulaga's making almost eight. You're paying a lot of money. I mean, next year, David Bakhtiari's going to be making 11, 14, and 14 if you look at his contract down the road. Brian Bulaga's going to be pushing nine. He's making, well, I take that back. He's going to be making 83, but with incentives, he can make close to nine. Martellus Bennett's going to be making 8.5. Got quite a few guys on this team making some serious amounts of cash. But you want Ted to go out and buy everybody. So if he does, you're upset. If he doesn't, I don't know. It seems like some of you want to complain just to complain. Darren says, the difference is early free agent signings are tier one type of players. Now free agent signings are cast-offs or tier three or four. Well, let's be honest, okay? Had, we'll say, Brooks made less money, he would still be with San Francisco. So, yeah, he's a cast-off because he was making too much money. In the past, we needed a free agent. Ted Thompson did nothing. Happy that he actually made some great free agent moves this season. Kale says, curious to see if Montgomery doesn't work out. Will he go back to being a wide receiver again and have Jamal Williams handle the backfield duties? I think it would be Jamal Williams and company. Because Aaron Jones probably showed that he was a better running back. Jamal Williams was a better pass receiver out of the backfield. His numbers weren't nearly as good running the football. This one's from Evan. Evan writes in the Wendy's email inbox. I'm looking at Ted Thompson as a guy that had holes, knew he needed to fill them, and did so in the most economically efficient way he could. What's wrong with that? TG says, so you're so up and down with Ted Thompson. One show you're ranting and bashing, the next scolding your listeners for doing the same. No. When there's certain players that are out there that can help this team and they sign elsewhere and you don't look in that direction, that makes me mad. But when he looks at holes and then fills those holes with free agents, my question is, why are you upset that he did that? Because people won't give him credit for that. When there is bashing and ranting that needs to be done, I'll be the first to do it. And when there is praise that needs to be done, I'll be the first to do it. It's not up and down. It's called being honest. There's a difference. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Doug listening to us in Green Bay. Doug, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call right away.
Sure.
I got a little bit on Ted Thompson. I'm satisfied. You make moves to improve your football team. Otherwise, why would you make a move? You know, Ron Wolf always said, don't get too comfortable. I'm always looking for somebody that's better than you to replace you. And Ted is, he had to do that. Some of these draft picks he's had in the last few years haven't panned out. You gotta replace them with somebody. And two players that I'm kind of interested in why they're still hanging around here. One is Dimitri Goodson. I realize he's injured, but I got a feeling they're going to get rid of him. And another one in Kyler Fackrell. After they sign these two other outside linebackers, I'm thinking his days might be short here unless they see something in that guy that I don't see.
Well,
I don't know.
He was a third-round draft choice last year, and they're going to give him an opportunity. And most times you have a draft choice fifth round or better. Most of those guys get an opportunity to prove themselves for the first 3-4 years of their contract, and then they'll cast them off if they're not. Appreciate the phone call, Doug. They're not necessarily that good. Kyler Fackrell, I mean, they only drafted him, like I said, last year. So they're going to give him every opportunity. Between this year and next year, these are proving grounds where he has to start stepping up and start showing you the reason they made him a third-round draft choice. And I agree with you. He hasn't been anything spectacular. There's nothing that's made me go, wow. You know, even in Mike McCarthyism, where Mike McCarthy says they're all good football players and some football players do great things. I haven't seen great things out of Kyler Fackrell yet. I'm waiting for it. Last year, he didn't have a ton of opportunity. This year, he's going to get more opportunity. And you also kept probably the best of the lot, so to speak. And you don't want to give up on a third-round draft choice, but the best of the lot because you do have a Nick Perry and Clay Matthews, and those guys have traditionally been injured at one point or another. So you have to keep your best of numbers. But I agree with you. If he doesn't show you anything this year, my question would be, okay, Ted has made admissions before when draft choices haven't panned out to say, look, the guy's not getting it done. Got to cut him loose. But Ted Thompson's track record for fifth-round draft choices or better has been keep him, try to develop him at least a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, and then when the end of that contract's coming about, then if they don't pan out, pretty much cut him loose after that. There's been very few exceptions to that rule. 855-830-8648. How are you feeling about this 53-man roster as it stands? I'd like to know. And then, also, we're going to talk some Brewers baseball as well. Because there's one guy that I'm thinking to myself, what? But they're counting on him. We'll talk about that as well. Don't forget, after the top of the hour, Ed Cedar, Brewers third base coach, is going to be joining us. And I want to talk with him about this whole thing with the Cubs as well. And was this well received in the clubhouse? Was there anything that anything else to this or anything else that we should know about? Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
This is the Marshfield Clinic Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. Want to remind you that tomorrow night, it is our first, I can't believe this, our first huddle of the season. Tomorrow night, Quaker Steak and Lube in New Berlin. We'll be there 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Find us there. Looking forward to that. And then Thursday night, oh, by the way, Thursday night, we have the cigar dinner coming up, and the price has been reduced, and I found out there are right now remaining. This is it. 20 tickets. That's it. And that thing will be sold out. 20 tickets remaining. That's it. for the cigar dinner coming up this Thursday night. They reduced the price. Rocky Patel reduced the price. This is all compliments of Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. And there are six locations in the Milwaukee area. There's one in Wauwatosa on North Avenue, two in Waukesha, one on Pewaukee Road, and one on West Sunset Drive. There's a location in Wales on Summit Avenue, one in New Berlin on West Cleveland Avenue, and one in Kenosha on 22nd Avenue. Those are the six locations in the area to get them, but there's only 20 tickets left. You get dinner, you get some cigars, you get some cocktails at the Iron Horse Hotel this Thursday night. Cocktails 5:30 to 6:30, dinner then begins 7:30, prizes, Q&A, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a great night, and there is only 20 tickets left, and the price was reduced from $79 to $59, and that's it, because Rocky Patel is taking care of the extra $20. So if you want the tickets, get out and get them, and get them quick. I would recommend getting them today because I don't think they're going to be there tomorrow. But 20 tickets remaining, and that is it for that event. I told you it would sell out, and it's really, really close to selling out. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. Bart Winkler is going to be at the huddle, too? Oh, well, there you go. So tomorrow night, Bart Winkler is going to be there. Hey, Michael writes, maybe fans want us to overspend on more Joe Johnsons. Maybe we should bring back Mike Sherman as the general manager. A lot of sarcasm there. That is from Michael. Michael T. Baker 13 on Twitter. 855-830-8648. Darren says, until the season starts, the only way to tell how Ted did is to do a position-by-position comparison between this year and last year. And you know what? I mean, Julius Peppers was not a guy that was going to stop the run. He was a guy that gave you productivity on the outside when it came to rushing the passer. As far as down for down, snap for snap, he was probably one of your better, as far as your productivity goes, your better guys. But when you look at the Green Bay Packers roster-wise, okay, Kenny Clark needs to have a better season. You don't have LaTroy Guyon there anymore, even though LaTroy Guyon was a better-than-average guy. Mike Daniels is Mike Daniels, and he has to continue to ascend and get better. Dean Lowry, you're looking for him to get better after being drafted in the fourth round last year. Christian Ringo, Ricky Jean-Francois fortifies that position. He comes in, and whether or not Kenny Clark or Christian Ringo get better in the nose tackle position or Francois kind of fortifies things. You kind of trade out Guyon for Francois, so to speak. I think you're better at the outside linebacker position this year. I think you're better at the inside linebacker position this year because you're going to be floating Clay Matthews. You've got, I'm not saying that Clay Matthews in his heyday is Ahmad Brooks, but Ahmad Brooks has been durable and he's been consistent, and that's what you're looking for out of that position. I think that's only going to benefit the inside position for Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, Clay Matthews, Joe Thomas, whoever happens to be playing there. So I think, and plus you're moving guys around when it comes to the safety position, like Morgan Burnett, Ha Ha Clinton Dix. I like what they did in the secondary with Kevin King and Josh Jones. We'll see if Devon House, I'm not saying becomes, you know, he's not Darrell Revis on Revis Island in his heyday, but if he comes a reliable guy and it's not a quick over the top every time, say like a Julio Jones over Ladarius Gunter. But what concerns me the most is the first two teams you face are going to be teams that are going to be running the football right at you. How much do they have run-stuffing capability? It's all going to start up front. Are they better up front? I love the secondary as far as the strong safety and free safety support. I don't know if they've recovered from last year, Quentin Rollins, Demarius Randall, Ladarius Gunter. I don't know how advanced Kevin King is. They're bringing in Lindsey Pipkins and Josh Hawkins. So it's going to really rely on Devon House and Quentin Rollins and then whoever else they happen to run up in there to fortify that secondary. I don't know. We won't know until we see them, you know, all together on the football field. And one of the things that this mass roster cut has provided us and provided the Green Bay Packers with, is to give a lot of the guys that would be starters and or top-tier secondary players not to have to play a lot in the preseason. So we haven't had a chance to really sit down and look at this as a whole, as a group starting together for the first time, to say, where are they? Because they haven't all played together a lot. We haven't seen that. Only behind closed doors have they done that. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com. Toll-free talk line. If you want to touch base with us, give us a shout. And then this one's from Daniel, who says, I think Ted Thompson has done his best work this year. While he hasn't brought in a lot of big-name guys, he has done enough to fortify the defense. I'm saying top 12. Mark me if I'm wrong at the end of the season. And then, by the way, his hashtag Cousin Sub. Well, maybe we end up getting betting a Cousin Sub on it. All they have to do is be top 15. With the offense the way it stands, barring massive injury, the defense has to be top 15, and they're going to be a pretty darn good football team. Whether or not that takes them to a championship, we'll have to wait and see. It gives them a pretty good shot, though. I'll admit that. 855-830-8648, or find us on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels or at Radio Joe Sports. Also, the new website's up and running. If you haven't checked that out already, go to BillMichaelsSports.com, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S, BillMichaelsSports.com. It gives you the on-demand. It gives you the listen live button. It gives you the download capability for many of the things that we have regarding pictures and regarding videos and regarding all the audio, the interviews and everything you want to see and hear. It's all right there, on demand. So a whole new website, whole new look, whole new opportunity. Real quick, Anthony, listen, not enough time? Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, we got about a minute. Shoot.
Bill. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What I want to know is, why isn't it that Ted doesn't trade some of his draft choices he has for next year to get them a solid nose tackle? Okay, because Buffalo and the New York Jets.
Yeah, the Jets were trading everybody.
Yeah, I know. They're getting rid of everybody. But
yeah.
Still, I mean, why doesn't he do that instead of trying to look towards the future and develop? I mean, you know.
Well, part of the reason why.
Don't have that much time.
Appreciate it, Anthony. Let's do this. We'll talk with Ed Cedar, and then we'll deal more with this coming back, because Lane Taylor got a contract extension. I want to talk about that as well. But we'll talk about it, I promise you, coming up. Stick around. We got Ed Cedar, Brewers third base coach, is going to join us. We'll ask him the question. Once the Brewers inside that clubhouse heard about the Cubs jockeying with the Friday night game, what was the reaction? That's one thing we'll get into, and we'll talk more about that series against Washington and yesterday's heartbreaking loss. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Marshfield Clinic Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.